Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I do not like the last play at all.
No, they made a good play on it, and so we came up a little short.
Would you run the same play?
The same damn play. We just have to be better. I have to be better.
Dale Arnold.
Who's the team to beat in the AFC East?
Cam Newton just took the New England Patriots up against Seattle. It's the Patriots.
Rich Keefe.
I'm going to take the over 48.5 here, New Orleans and Vegas.
I think the Raiders getting 5.5 is the play.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
We don't know how the sausage is made, but the sausage has come out, and boy, does it taste good.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
See, I would have bet cold hard cash that it would be Shime talking about the sausage and not Andy Hart, but just goes to show you just never know.
What's wrong with sausage, Dale?
Absolutely nothing, but Shime likes to talk about sausage from time to time.
You guys like a link or a patty?
Oh, I like them both.
Oh, link.
A link.
Both,
yeah. No, not a sausage patty. Unless it's on a sandwich.
Shime does the, he puts the links in between two patties and just a sausage sandwich.
Just throws a lot that of down. Meat.
He calls it Christmas. I mean, that just has everything. Yeah, that was fun to listen to again, wasn't it? And I just
He's
said
great.
To Greg and those guys, and this is not a knock on the guy who has been doing the Patriots Monday interviews for so many years here. This guy's more fun to listen to than that guy was.
Yes.
Way more.
He just has a personality. Tom Brady's a dork. If he weren't Tom Brady and the coolest guy on the planet because of his winning and his career, he'd
and
be a
wife.
Dork.
Nothing wrong with being a dork, yo. You can have a podcast
right.
about it. You can talk about your favorite
look
movies.
Look where you are.
Yeah.
No one says you're the coolest guy in the room.
Not in a while, no.
Well, they should.
It's been a little while.
He's got a sword, you know.
Well, it depends on what the room is.
Yeah. This room right now, you might have us.
when Dale comes back and Andy's here, then yes, maybe I still am. But
Cam is, he just has that natural, and I just said this to Greg Hill, the quick wit. The line about, you know, Greg yeah. says, can I borrow your shoes? And he says, where I come from, you're just a couple pairs of socks away. Like the quick lines that are ready at all
yeah.
times.
And I think it's too, because it's that balance where we know the Patriots don't like their players speaking too much or having too right. much of a personality, at least publicly. Like, I think they're softening that. They're allowed to do podcasts. They're allowed to have a social media presence. But when it comes to press conferences or radio interviews, they like them to not, you know, give too much away. But Cam has the ability to, I think, entertain people who are listening to him, give thoughtful answers, but at the same time, Bill Belichick and the Patriots staff aren't like, oh my God, oh my God.
Like, what's he saying?
Like, he's still saying really nice things about his teammates. He's being open and honest, but without giving away, like, all the game plan and all the stuff that's inside the locker room is still staying there. But at the same time, he's answering the questions, and it's a great balance.
Even if you wanted to pick nits, what line did he cross? He was entertaining, but what line did he? I would argue a week ago he may have crossed a line when he said,
Doughboy.
TMI. No, well, but even that.
We were trying to figure
out. Once you explained it was kind of okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
When he said, TMI here, but when Jules addressed the team this morning, this is what Jules said.
Right.
I could see
they
Bill
not
say,
have liked that.
Okay. Have your personality, have your good lines and everything.
Yeah.
Let's not keep internal, like bring internal to the external.
Right.
But the thing that stood out for me, and I don't, it's not the most entertaining of lines, but if you want to talk about who Cam is, and I wrote this down, I know who I am. I'm not surprised by the performance.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, that just says it all.
Confidence.
Everybody's like, wow, I didn't think Cam could throw the ball 40 times.
Well, he can.
Blah. He had no surprise in Seattle.
No.
He went there with an expectation. He fulfilled expectations.
Right.
And now he's coming back. Now, if Bill were writing down lines, I bet Bill would write down the line where he said, Is it money doesn't matter to me? I wrote it in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Well,
Bill has that one on a loop.
Money's
not important.
Let's play the cut here, because they asked Cam this morning about quarterbacks who make more than he does.
Surprisingly, but true and factual enough, if I do what I'm supposed to do, as I'm expecting to, that will not even be a topic of discussion here moving forward. Money at this particular point in my career is not important, right? And let's be honest. Like I've made money, but for everything that I play this game for, I haven't received yet. And that's why I'm playing. So it's not about money. It's about respect. And I do believe this. You know, a wise man once said that, and that wise man is my father. All blessings do not come in financial, you know, means. You know, just because, you know, you have money and do that, that, you know, blessings comes in many different forms than that, financial compensation. So, you know, for me, if I do what I'm supposed to do, you know, everything else will take care of itself.
I built Cam.
That's Cecil, of course, he's talking about. Do you believe him on the money front?
Yeah, I actually do. Well, mm-hmm. He got paid, remember. He's made a lot of money in
his
career.
He has made over $121 million just from football.
Yeah, see, that was the point I was making to Greg and those guys. I mean, he's got more money than he can probably spend. I mean, I know that some people out there go a little nuts, and Antoine Walker blew through everything, but Cam Newton has probably made enough to get he and his children through their lives just fine.
It's true, but at the same time, you could say that about most quarterbacks or, say, star NBA players or whatever, and how many of them don't continue to maximize their deal. Like Tom Brady could have played for $10 million.
But what did Tom Brady have?
What do you mean?
6 Super Bowl rings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you start to take them for granted, even though I don't think Tom probably thinks he takes winning for granted and rings. Cam can't take the winning and the rings for granted. He went to a Super Bowl. It turned out to be one of his worst days in terms of career defining. We all know the fumble and all of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
So that's what he's talking about. And he has money. He hasn't had the success. And that, I think, is what it's almost the reverse of Brady. Like, Brady didn't necessarily have the money, and he was okay with no money for a while, and then at some point he seemingly
won
money.
Like, it's not Tom Brady's made more money than Cam Newton has.
But Cam was the number one pick in the draft. He immediately had money.
He started away with money.
He probably made more money at Florida than Brady made early in his NFL career.
Florida's paying good guys.
It is what it is.
They're paying good guys. So I believe him, too, and I think one of the reasons why is, even though there weren't a ton of suitors for Cam Newton, right? There was, surprisingly, nobody was really interested in him. He still could have haggled for more with the Patriots.
Right, but what's like the point?
And that's it. That's it. No, you're right.
Oh, you're going to give me 1 point whatever guarantee.
So he's
can I get 5?
So he's going to bet on himself. He's going to bet on himself. He's going to show up here, and through 2 weeks, he looks like a guy who is not going to be making Blaine Gabbert, Nathan Peterman money next year. He's going to be making a lot more. Now, I don't think he's going to be making Mahomes or Wilson money.
No.
But there's definitely, you know, he talks about the respect, how important respect is. Well, how many times when we talked about Tom Brady's contract did respect get worked into that?
Right.
So he needs
to
be paid.
To be appreciated. My husband just wants to be appreciated.
Well, part of being appreciated is getting paid, say, $25 million instead of $15 million. And so that might be an issue for
Cam
eventually.
Or maybe he's getting the appreciation Brady never got from Tom. I mean, from Bill. Just, you know, pats on the back.
I mean, that serious satellite interview seems like it.
Right.
It certainly does sound different. I'll say that. Yeah. And it may be that Bill has decided, you know, everybody needs different things, and this is how I have to treat this guy as opposed to this is how I would treat that guy.
Right, the Teddy Bruschi comments he had with you guys.
And I honestly think that Bill has treated this guy differently because he perceives that's what he needs to get the best performance he can get out of this guy.
Okay, so I want to ask Rich Keefe a question because he is the quote interpreter. I got to give him credit. He nailed the Gordon Hayward thing.
Yes, I did.
He was one of the first people I heard that said, I'm reading this as he's not leaving for the baby.
Stay in the bubble.
And he nailed it.
Yep.
So in those comments, Cam said, if I do what I'm supposed to do, that won't even be a conversation. Can that be taken literally? Is there a carrot on the end of the hey, Cam, if you prove you're healthy and you prove you're the Cam we think you still can be and that we know you have confidence in being, is there already some sort of a we'll take care of you come December?
Yeah, it won't even be a question. That's what
literally
kind of,
won't be a question.
Now, part of it is he's making like $1 million if he doesn't hit the incentives. And so if he plays, basically, he's not even plays well. If he just plays,
right,
he goes from like $1 million to $7 million or whatever.
Still
it is.
Not
so
good. That's still not that's backup money.
No.
He's making backup money even if he is good.
But I think, I think if he plays well, it's proven. And I don't know if there's already been a handshake agreement or not. I don't really know if Belichick would do that. You think he would?
I think between Thanksgiving and Christmas, if he's healthy, he signs. 3 years, $80 million. It's not going to be Wiggy's crazy 130, 100 guaranteed.
Right. No,
I think it'll be more reasonable. He'll top $25 million a year.
Yeah.
He'll get in the Brady, Philip Rivers money with a little bit more longevity.
How about Drew Brees?
Drew Brees, but he's a little younger, so it's not a 2-year deal.
Yeah,
it's
a
3, maybe it's a 4-year deal.
I think that's one where it'd be fair.
How much
for both
of
sides.
The 80, let's say the 80, that your number's right, and it probably sounds good to me. How much of it gets guaranteed? 50?
I was going to say 45, in the 40s.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It could be one of those Patriots contracts
like the
where
first couple years. And
you know,
then
there's a signing bonus that they tack on this year's cap to use up some of their money, or a roster bonus. Ooh, you get a roster
bonus
they
got
in
a bunch
December.
Of space for now,
here's
yeah.
$10 million. That's off the books. It's already on this year's cap. Then we'll give you a signing bonus next March 1st, and then a tiered bonus that you get another one the next March. That's a bonus money. It wouldn't. I think Bill, I told you guys this like a month ago, is smitten with Cam Newton. I think he loves him some Cam Newton.
By the way, everybody seems to be.
Yes.
Everyone who comes in. Remember the shot Sunday night where Cam goes running, warm-ups, he goes running across the field and he practically jumps into the arms of Greg Olsen. And you see how Greg Olsen just hugs him and then he's got to hug him again. I think teammates love the guy. I think coaches love the guy. I think everybody who comes in contact with Cam Newton ends up loving the guy.
Except why wouldn't you?
Except Urban Meyer.
Except him.
Told him to take a hike and go play tight end.
Oh, you know. There were issues there.
Good call by Urban.
Yeah, way to go, Urban.
But why would you not be, what would the negative be? If we wanted to be Boston Sports Talk Radio where everything's negative, give me the negative of Cam Newton in his first 2+ months in New England.
I got nothing. There's nothing. There's
absolutely
nothing.
Not a thing.
There's nothing
he's
negative.
He's done everything they've asked. He's performed at a high level.
Because that was one of my big takeaways from the Cam Chronicles, where we were introduced to his father, Cecil. But one of the big takeaways was he is willing to be coached. That was one thing that everybody said, and was it Kyle Love was talking about, like, oh, they didn't even yell at him in Carolina. Well, maybe that was how Ron Rivera did things. Maybe it wasn't just a Cam thing. That was how Ron Rivera's coaching style. He's the only head coach he had in Carolina, and maybe that's how he decided to do things. But they talked about when he was down at Blinn and having to go from Florida, and that was the first time he really got humbled, having to go play junior college for a year, and yet he was out there every single day going through things, and as long as the coach gave him an explanation for why they were doing it, he was good with it. So he wants to be coached. When he went to Auburn, they said, hey, if we coach you hard, you'll achieve your goals, and he did. So now he comes to play for the best coach in the league, and it seems like he is willing to do whatever is asked of him.
I'll give you the one negative. As a media member, I know how people love when the media has its neck. The 55-minute wait for him to do his post-game
Zooms.
Oh,
you are such an idiot.
Staring
I
at the little box that says
about that.
CN Cam Newton.
Not
don't
even
care.
A bit. Not my problem.
Well, that's because you were sleeping.
Not my, I was
some of us were up at 12:45 waiting to write.
I had a good snooze.
But that's all I got.
Let me give you the other thing from this morning's Greg Hill Show interview that jumped out at me. And we said it, the negative media, we talked about the lack of weapons that Tom Brady had. And, oh, guess what? They don't have the weapons this year either. And how's Cam going to perform? Well, he was asked this morning about whether or not the Patriots need to get some help at wide receiver.
Man, I'll say this. The answers are in that locker room. Simple and plain. You know, we got LeBud, Doughboy, Highway 11, and, you know, my germs. So we good to go. So, we have let me rewind that. We have Jahmyr Bird, N'Keal Harry, Julian Edelman, and Jacoby Myers.
Yeah,
I appreciate
Myers
that he now gives me the real names following the nickname.
Because
my
sometimes
germs.
The translation's hard.
My germs.
In a pandemic, that's not
Myers.
A great nickname.
No, you don't want it.
My
you think,
germs.
Do you think he got that from Scary Movie 2? He's always like sticking his hand in the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I don't
my
like
germs.
That.
Now, here's the thing. Tom Brady never would have said, well, of course
my
we
germs.
Need help at wide receiver. Of course we got to go get somebody.
Tom Brady.
He would never say that.
No, and
Cam
we know what he would have
never
said.
Say that.
Tom Brady would have said, I'm just the quarterback. I'm just a player. That's what he would have said. If you asked him, do you need another wide receiver? He would have, in the back of his mind, been screaming, yes, we do. But he would have said, I'm just a quarterback. That's a question
for
somebody
so
else.
Is Cam Newton screaming, yes, we do, in the back of his mind? Or does he believe what he just told you?
Or was
so Andy's got a different take on it.
Somewhat revealing in a way that no one has taken it yet. The answers are in the locker room, right?
Yeah, you might not like the answer, but it's in the locker room.
If you look to my right, two stalls down is Gunner. You expect me to throw to somebody called Gunner who played DB at Bemidji State?
See, I would buy
look
that.
Look around the locker room. There's nobody in here. Yes, I need a receiver.
Oh, stop it.
It's just an interpretation,
what do you mean, Dale?
Yeah, we all see things differently.
Let's just say.
It's like Art
Dale. I don't think he's sitting there specifically saying, what, Gunner? Are you nuts?
No. He stayed vague.
Yeah,
he
but
said,
Gunner's not even playing.
Ryan Izzo's my number one tight end.
But you got to admit, though, Dale, when he says the answers are in the locker room, he didn't necessarily necessarily say these guys are great. I love these guys. Right. He just said the answer's there. So the answer might suck.
Right. He didn't say I've, be good. I've never been surrounded by so much talent.
He sounded more positive in my hearing than he did in your hearing.
Well, he always sounds positive. I think that's what he always has a smile, bright white teeth just looking at you, and he takes you in that direction.
But I think the one of the major differences, and this isn't an original thought, we've talked about it before, but one of the major differences between Newton and Brady is that Newton will embrace the challenge of developing receivers.
And it already paid off.
And he knows that Harry and Myers specifically need to be developed. Damir Bird, he's got a little bit of a track record with him, and that's sort of continuing. And then Edelman, who he has singled out, Newton has, hey, he's a pro's pro. I don't need to do anything with him. It's like when I came into the league and had Steve Smith. That's what Edelman's like. But all these other guys are a project, but he's not going to run away from that project or pout if one of them drops a pass or lines up in the wrong spot.
All right, let's give you the schedule for today. Obviously, it's a Tuesday edition of Patriots Monday with the early morning arrival yesterday. And unfortunately, we won't be able to talk to James White this week for obvious reasons, and we continue to hope for nothing but the best for his mom, who at last word was still in critical condition with what were described in a Miami paper today as life-threatening injuries. The offensive representative for today on our Tuesday edition of Patriots Monday will be Shaq Mason. He's going to join us in just a few minutes. Lawrence Guy will be with us at 11:15. In between those two, Keyshawn Johnson joins us at 11, and we've got Kiefer Madness at 12:30. So lots to do, lots to get to. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, and it's time to trend.
Andy Hart is with Dale and Keefe every Tuesday and Thursday on WEEI.
Back on Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Patriots offensive lineman Shaq Mason. Shaq is brought to you by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. And by McFarlane Energy. Check out McFarlane's new customer oil delivery special at McFarlaneEnergy.com. Good morning, Shaq. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. How are you?
We're doing great, thank you. We will begin, obviously, offering our condolences to everybody in the organization. We are all thinking of James and what he's going through. That had to have been a gut punch for everybody on Sunday.
Oh, definitely, man. Yes, I'm constantly praying for him and, you know, the rest of his family as well, because, I mean, that's just, like you said, it's a gut punch. And it's just a flash of reality how, you know, that stuff like that, nobody's ever immune to it.
Shaq, how's the transition been from blocking for Tom Brady the first 5 years of your career, obviously a less mobile quarterback, and now transitioning into blocking for Cam Newton, who on any given play could take off and run?
It's definitely different. Like you said, Tom's more of a pocket QB, and Cam, you know, can scramble and do things with his legs, but I'd say all in all, as offensive lineman, I mean, our job is to keep it off the quarterback. So, I mean, our job doesn't really change as much, but the added legs to, you know, Cam's game, that's a change. But as far as blocking and that goes, I mean, our job is to keep him off him regardless of who's back there.
Shaq, I believe you guys had what I would term a good loss Sunday night in Seattle because of all the fight you showed and the things that you accomplished in that game against a good team on the road. What's your response to the idea that you can have a good loss?
Any loss is bad in my eyes. And I mean, there's things you can take from a loss and gain from. I'd say that's one thing I can say is that we found out some things about ourselves during the loss that we can build on. And you know, we show signs that we can be a good football team.
We're talking with New England Patriots offensive guard Shaq Mason here on a Tuesday edition of Patriots Monday. Everybody knows what Seattle's like normally. Everybody knows about the 12th man normally. What was it like playing in an empty stadium out in Seattle this past Sunday night?
It was actually in my career, my first time actually playing in that stadium. And, you know, you hear about it and you see, you know, about their 12th man and all that. But it was weird being there because of the historic, you know, stadium they have and the 12th man and all that. Just being in that empty stadium without the fans, that was a little weird. But I think the energy's still there, just being there.
Shaq, obviously taking nothing away from Ted Karras and some of the guys who filled in a year ago, but how nice is it to have David Andrews back next to you?
Oh, it's nice. It's nice. You know, Dave, we came out together. That's been my guy for, 5 years. So it's definitely nice to have him back in the lineup and back doing what he loves.
As an offensive lineman, I know the final play didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, but is there part of you that when you hear that play call in the huddle gets excited that, you know, that let's just let the big guys plow the defense off the ball and win the game right here? Is there some faith that's shown in you that you guys appreciate?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I wouldn't, you know, if I could rewind, you know, I'd do the same thing over, you know. That's an O lineman's, you know, dream. Put a guy from point A to point B, and you know, unfortunately, the ball didn't roll our way. But yeah, you get that play call in the huddle, you geared up for it.
There were a rash of injuries around the National Football League this past weekend. Some of them season-ending injuries, and it brings up the discussion again about the lack of a preseason and no exhibition games. Do you think there's any connection between the injuries that we saw this weekend and the fact that there were no 4 preseason games before it?
I'm not sure if there's, you know, direct correlation, you know, as far as the studies and things go, but it's definitely, you know, sad seeing all these injuries on Sunday, you know, and just one after the other, and, you know, ACL after ACL, you know, that's tough to see, you know, other guys around the league in this brotherhood just going down from, you know, seasoning to injuries like that.
Now, the offense looked pretty good in the first 2 weeks, but Sony Michel has had a hard time getting things going. Is there anything you guys are going to work to do here going forward to try to spring him loose a little bit?
We definitely are, you know, just going to keep, you know, chipping away at it and just keep trying to put our best foot forward and, you know, put plays together. And, you know, Sony's a good back, great back, and, you know, he'll we'll get him going because, I mean, it's all of us together. You know, there are certain things here and there, and, you know, we're just going to keep chipping away at it and just keep trying to put our best foot forward.
You touched on it a little bit earlier, the, you know, changing from blocking for Tom Brady to Cam Newton. You have a new offensive line coaching staff this year. Obviously, Coach Scarnecchia retired. I'm just wondering, from an offensive line perspective, what has changed for you guys in terms of scheme or coaching points or, you know, doing the read option stuff and some of that? How much has changed for you guys as linemen?
Not much at all, actually. I mean, you know, everything that we know trickles down from Scar. So those things are still trickling in each day. You know, even though Scar is, you know, no longer in the building, his habits and teachings and, you know, his drills, we still do those every single day.
Shaq, we appreciate you taking the time and subbing in for your teammate James White today. Best of luck this coming weekend against Oakland and the rest of the season.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Shaq. Shaq Mason joining us as they get ready to face the somewhat surprising Oakland Raiders, I think, here. Don't you guys agree?
2-0
last night with a I don't know how big an upset it is over the New Orleans Saints because Drew Brees is starting to look like kind of a shadow of Drew Brees, it seems.
Well, I'll tell you, everybody was saying, you know, Tampa Bay lost week one because, hey, they had a tough matchup and they played right. New Orleans and the Patriots played the Dolphins and all that. And then pretty quickly, 1 week later, you're like, maybe the Saints suck. So maybe the Bucs are even worse.
But when you take away
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, 150 yeah. catch guy.
But it is funny because I think for the most part, as much as I'm a receiver guy, I think it's the quarterbacks make most of the receivers. But there are a group of receivers who make quarterbacks. And right now, Drew Brees has fallen off enough in my mind that Michael Thomas makes Brees.
Right.
Like, and T.O. made Jeff Garcia and Donovan McNabb and all those guys. But right now, Drew Brees, if you take away his best option, because think about it, if Alvin Kamara isn't the player that he is, who knows what the Saints do on offense?
Oh, yeah, but I don't think it's just the talent. I think if Michael Thomas, because there's another Mike Thomas, he missed a month, I think Drew Brees would adjust. But when you miss the first game, it's like, you know, you have one way to drive home, and you're driving along, and then you see a detour sign, and you're like, well, a detour sign? No, I go this way. This is how I get home. Right. It's like you have to.
Oh, I think it'll get better, but I still think he would be missing something. But the other takeaway is Vegas is a little bit better than I thought.
Yes.
You know, Derek Carr had a really good game.
Derek Carr looked good.
So did the black hole, the new black hole, that stadium there. Although, what'd you think of the torch? It's fake.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a real torch.
No.
It's like a digital screen. It's like one of those, let's put the fire on, honey, on the flat screen. No, we don't actually have a fire. I'm not going to pretend it.
Although, they're the one team, Vegas, that might have worse wide receivers than the Patriots. They have a great tight end, and they have a really good running back, and they have, I would say, an above-average quarterback.
And Ruggs right now he had like one catch last night, did nothing.
For 4 yards.
Right.
I mean, I know he's a burner, so he could have one for 70 next week.
We'll see where they go. I mean, Aguilar is a guy that...
Unlike Aguilar.
One place.
Well, unlike Aguilar.
I don't know what that means, but...
Remember the guy... So, okay, we have to explain the jokes
here
now.
The catch throwing the baby?
Throwing babies out the window.
Yeah, okay.
We was catching him. Unlike Aguilar.
Unbelievable shot.
Mishaps. I like to put that out there.
This guy's a hero, and
use that opportunity.
Use his platform. Nelson Aguilar.
That's Philly for you. That's Philly fans for you.
It was. No, but I mean, they're going to be a
Hunter Renfro, you don't like him?
Actually, I kind of like Hunter Renfro.
He's a pretty good receiver.
But I mean, over Edelman, and no. So I think that, but Vegas is going to be a tougher challenge, I think, than we maybe originally thought.
Well, and think about it. That team, as you said, with not a great wide receiver group and all that stuff, put up 34 points against a New Orleans team that we thought was good defensively, and so they gave Tom Brady a hard time. We just saw Vegas put up 34 points against New Orleans with a wide receiver group that's kind of pedestrian.
And did so a lot through the air. Like Josh Jacobs had a bunch of carries, but he didn't have a lot of production.
He did not have a great game.
That could change this
Darren
week.
Waller is a beast.
Darren Waller is really one of the more underrated players in the National Football. He had
story.
90 catches last year.
I think so, something like that.
12 last night. Like, I think he's a guy that not most NFL fans wouldn't know the name, wouldn't know, who's he? Like, he's a tight end for the Raiders.
You know what? Actually, should have asked him about him. I believe he was teammates with Shaq Mason at Georgia Tech.
Probably something you should have thought of, I don't know, 10 minutes ago.
Yep. Yeah, my bad. Hey, call Shaq back. Let's get one more question thought on Darren Waller.
At top of the hour, Keyshawn Johnson's going to join us. It's become one of the highlights of our week. We'll talk to him in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart on WEEI.
I'm curious, fellas, as we get ready to talk to Keyshawn Johnson at the top of the hour. Going into this season, I think we all probably would have been unanimous when we said that the best position grouping on the Patriots was in the secondary, right?
Yes,
you got the defensive player of the year.
Definitely.
You've got McCourty twins. Do you still feel that way through two games?
Yes.
I think it's still their best position group. They did not have a great game against Seattle, but thankfully you're not going to face Russell Wilson every week. But I'll still take my chances with Gilmore and J.C. Jackson and both McCourtys. And now all of a sudden you're getting rave reviews about Kyle Duggar. Maybe they finally drafted somebody in the second round in the secondary that's going to stick. So I'll take my chances with the secondary. I still like them. Now, maybe there are other groups that have kind of gone up and some that have gone down, but I'll still take them as the best position group on the team.
I mean, you want to talk about rave reviews about Kyle Duggar. Did you guys see what Greg Bedard said about I mean, he basically said, let Patrick Chung go. You got a guy who's better.
So I don't even know if that's super high praise, because let Patrick Chung go in a second.
He kind of faded down the stretch a year ago.
He's at the end of last year. Yeah, I'm good with that.
He's a year older now, a year away from football.
We also said, and this is what Bedard tweeted out, haven't even finished the first half of the Patriots defensive film, and I've seen enough. Kyle Duggar should be on the field 24/7, and they don't need Patrick Chung back next year. Basically, he's saying Kyle Duggar should be on the field every play.
He did kind of pop a little bit. Like he's a physical guy. Like I'm all for having him out there. The Patrick Chung part is like, okay, fine. But
also the not finishing the game part. I like, no offense, but
yeah, what are we doing here?
30 minutes of football and just anointing. I mean,
why don't you finish the game?
What's his name? Who had the 200 yards rushing against the Colts? I'm not even going to watch another game this season. No. Best running back in the NFL, Jonas Gray.
Jonas Gray. So yeah,
Bedard played again.
A game and a half of Kyle Duggar, and he's got him.
I mean, it's a little like Wiggy saying, "Give him $100 million now." I don't care that he missed 2 years. He's played two games. That wipes.
But
that
at least
out.
It's a promising start, and that's been just a black hole of Cyrus Jones and Rossi Dowling and Duke Dawson and just on down the line of second round guys that you thought would make an impact and didn't. And even in a weird year with no preseason games, the fact that he's out there, because let's face it, the rest of this rookie class does not appear to be helping you this year.
Well, the reason I brought it up is that, you know, a group that has looked better than I expected, and it's represented by the guy we just talked to, because the offensive line has looked pretty good to me so far.
Oh, but I expected that. To me, they were the second best group on the team. Like, if you said after the secondary, that's where you have invested draft picks, a franchise left guard, you got your center back who, once he proved he could play.
You spend more money on guards than any team in the league, so it should be a strength. First round pick, and then a really good center. And, again, we weren't sure who was going to take over for Marcus Cannon. And it seems like it's been a couple different guys, actually. But they've been pretty good. Cam Newton's had his time. They ran the ball effectively in week one. He was able to have a clean pocket for much of game two. So those guys, the key, though, is they just need to all stay on the field.
Right.
And they've all, to different degrees, had injury problems in the past. So as long as they're out there, they probably are the best offensive group. And as Andy said, the second best overall.
And you took a little shot at the rookie class, but Onwenu, I think that's how you say it. He could be your starting guard.
So if he ends up being your right tackle within two weeks. Now
he's lower down the draft class.
I was say, you have one linebacker can't see the field, another linebacker who I don't know if he plays. You have a kicker who you got rid of. So,
it's
not great.
Very negative. Well, I thought we were positive this week. Good loss in Seattle.
Good loss. Yeah, but once you only have so much good loss.
Only
talk.
Monday is good loss. Tuesday is where we start to be a little more realistic.
Yep, then you go back to the draft class.
Okay, so you want to
spin this. The receiver group's also a little bit better than I thought. And again, not super high praise because I thought they were in the toilet. But
yeah.
Is that primarily because N'Keal Harry looks like he maybe isn't a bust here?
Well, no. For me, it's more Demir Byrd seems like he's on the same page with Newton, and I think he can be. You remember when we'd see games of Philip Dorsett, like the good games of Philip Dorsett where he seemed to be kind of locked into the offense? Like, maybe that's what you can get from Demir Byrd, but a little bit more of it because Cam is going to, he knows that he has to rely on him. Harry, I'm still not convinced on. Myers is obviously like a, one or two pass type of game guy. But I thought they were going to be really, really bad. I thought it was going to be just Edelman. So it's been a little bit better.
Dale, the Andy Hart stat of the week.
Oh.
Ooh.
Demir Byrd, in three of his last five games played, which obviously that goes back to last year in Arizona, at least six catches for at least 70 yards. What do you think of that? I mean, that's your
I'll sink my teeth into that.
Third receiver.
If
you have
that.
A third receiver who averages six catches for 70 yards a game, you're pretty good.
Aren't we still talking about what we did the last couple of years where you have everybody, you're still missing that top receiver. So if Bird's your number four and Harry's your number three, then I think you're cooking with gas.
Oh, sure.
But the fact that Harry's a two and Bird's a three, it's like, all right, you're still missing something, but they just proved against Seattle that they can move the ball down the field with those guys.
And I would say you still have an obvious hole at tight end. If
huge.
Buzz Lightyear or whatever Cam Newton calls Ryan Izzo as your number one tight end,
that
you get
group
nothing
actually,
else.
That group might be worse because
Asiasi was the next coming of Gronk, except he doesn't play,
Dalton
he doesn't
Keen?
Get targeted.
Yeah. Keen Hernandez and Asiasi's Gronk.
Oh, don't do that to Dalton.
On the field. Caveat on the field.
Well, we never know. He's not on the field, so I'll never know if he's.
No, he's not. But that's one where didn't we all say, well, they're going to be better than Matt Lacoste?
No.
Not sure.
Ryan Izzo has a catch for 20 whatever yards in the first game. That was nice.
Yep.
He's played virtually every snap. I'll give him
catches.
That. Yes, he has two catches. What
as
was the
many
one?
As Gronk.
For 3 yards? Or the second one was nothing.
As many
right?
as Gronk.
Oh, we're doing that thing
yeah.
now. We're going to compare
he's better
Newton
than Gronk.
Brady, Izzo, and Gronk.
That's
all
how you do
the
it.
Comparisons.
That's it. It's the easiest
way
I
think
to do
that,
it.
I think that overall, there have been some pleasant surprises. There have been some disappointments. The tight end, you're right. It has been a disappointing group so far. We all thought they were going to be better than this. Wide receivers, a little bit better than we expected. I think the offensive line, I thought that the return of David Andrews was going to make a difference, but it seems to have made even more of a difference than I thought it was going to make. So overall, okay. Now, the linebackers scare me to death.
They
don't have any, Dale.
They
so
lost too
part.
Many. They lost too many, and they didn't really replace them. And again, they kind of tried to replace them through the draft, and that hasn't really worked to this point. Now, it's a long season. Maybe those guys either get healthy or something clicks, but you're just asking a lot to lose Hightower, Van Noy, and Collins and say, all right, these guys will have that same production. So we probably should have seen this coming, but they've been just pretty bad.
Dale, I know this doesn't sell on talk radio, but I feel for that position is another example where I've come a little more empathetic. I feel bad.
What? You?
Yes, not pathetic. A lot of people have called me pathetic over the years, but
talking about the linebackers?
Juwan Bentley, I feel bad for him. Like, he's in a position that he shouldn't be in. He's a fifth-round pick who really has never played. He played those first couple of games of his rookie year, got hurt.
Right.
Last year was buried behind all the guys that Rich just listed. And then all of a sudden this year, you're a captain, you're the play caller. He played all 63 snaps in Seattle.
And you're doing interviews on Mud at Night.
He's doing interviews on Mud at Night
like
with
that.
Andy Hart and Mike Mananski.
Mm-hmm.
And he's put in a position where I feel like he's set up to fail, and everybody's like, why is he so slow? I don't know. Why was he drafted in the fifth round? Because he was slow coming out of Purdue. Like, just because you need him to be something doesn't mean he's capable of. I think he can play. If you picked your spots with him and he's in sort of your early down packages and running down situations, I think he can play. But when you say, well, you're going to be in the open field with Russell Wilson, good luck. You know, slap him on the ass. Oh, you're going to be chasing down Tyler Lockett crossing the field. Good luck. Slap him on the That's not really on him. That's on you for not having anybody else better suited for that job.
All right, the first half of our wide receiver doubleheader. We have one Tuesday. We have one Friday. We love talking to both of them. Keyshawn Johnson joins us in just a couple of minutes here on Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.